Session number 13580, reel number 2.
Mr. Snell, reel 2.
The attack on the wood was Kames Wood.
How do you spell that?
It's a French C-A-M-B-S, Kames Wood, about 12 kilometres from Caen. The IUR, a battalion of the IURs, was trapped in the wood and had suffered heavy casualties. So we were ordered to go in and relieve them. And it was a night attack. Which was very frightening. There was all hell let loose. All you saw was traces, and you didn't know who was firing who. And anyway, we eventually got in, and our first casualty was a chappy called Armstrong, and he was, I think he was the first man on the roll, the company roll, and his brother, who was a stretcher bearer, attended him. That was our first casualty there. I don't think we lost a lot of men.
Which platoon and company were you in?
I was in D Company.
And the platoon?
I think it was 13th platoon.
Do you remember the names of the officers and sergeants?
Major Rennie was the company commander. Captain Skinner MM was second in command. I can't remember the officer that came to our platoon was out of the artillery. I can't remember his name.
Did you do much firing on this attack yourself on Kames Wood?
No. As I say, it was dark. And if you found a hole, you got into it because there was a lot of mortar fire and people yelling. And eventually, dawn came and we were all regrouped. There were a lot of wounded IURs. And, we got cleaned up and dug new slit trenches. And one or two dead bodies laid around, which were cleared up and eventually buried. We were there for quite a while. We used to do patrols, night patrols, fighting patrols. We were asked for volunteers. If you didn't volunteer, you were detailed. There was one particular patrol we were on. It was a fighting patrol with Captain Skinner. We were going out to take a German prisoner. And we were all that tired that someone in the front of the patrol went to sleep and the remainder of the patrol went on. And of course, by the time we were laid waiting and waiting, and eventually this chappy woke up and found there was nobody in front of them. All we had to do was follow their track through the cornfield. Eventually we caught them up, but it wasn't very successful that night.
So you didn't get the prisoner?
No. you could set your clock with the mortars or the morning minis from the Germans. And of course, when they used to come, and everybody got down the bottom of the slit trench and hoped they wouldn't land anywhere near. But quite a number got wounded there. I remember one night the sergeant major got wounded. I think his name was Gaskell. I just can't be sure about that name. But I know he was a cross-country runner. And they were carrying him on the shell and they started motoring and he jumped off the stretcher and beat them all back to the first aid. And he was the wounded one. And then from there we went towards Caen. And there was a graveyard, what they called the airborne graveyard, where all the gliders had been taken, broken that, looking down into Caen. And we watched the 2000 bomber raid on Caen.
What did that look like?
A wonderful sight. You could see the planes coming in. Nice clear sky in the evening, and of course we all cheered, and we could see the bombs dropping on Caen. The next morning we went in. I remember the gas works. We went down past the gas works. Again, there was great big craters. Bombed out places. The smell of death and cordite. By this time we'd got used to this.
Were there any people about in a civilian?
There was very few civilians about. There was one or two Germans still knocking about. We got into towards the centre of Caen. There was a little bit of street fighting. We consolidated and we were sent on patrol, and we went through a brewery yard. There's about six of us and an officer. We were on a fighting patrol. And we were crawling under along the side of the wall, and we heard this rattling on the roof. And we shouted, "Oh, you stop it, you stupid looking devils." And lo and behold, it was the Germans at the other side, and they were throwing these stick grenades, and they were rattling on. Of course, we all hit the deck, and again, there was all hell let loose. Eventually we got into a crater, and I don't know whether they were afraid or we were afraid. I remember Paddy Phillips, John Pinden, running, and this officer what was with him. Paddy got hit in the back with a bullet. We went into a cellar. There was about four of us. And we hauled up there all night. And things quietened down. Just before daybreak, we made our way back to company HQ. Paddy, he didn't know he'd been hit. And he said that he felt sick, and they found a bullet hole in his back, and the bullet had lodged in his stomach. Well, he went off. And then we went to the catacombs where all the civilians were, and helped to sort them out.
What condition were they in?
Well, they were frightened. They were frightened, we were frightened. took one or two prisoners. They were frightened. I think everybody was frightened. But we were always told you had to be frightened of being frightened. And
you mean of showing it?
Pardon?
You mean of showing it?
Yes. Eventually, we moved from there. Met up with the Canadians in Caen.
Were you supposed to do something for the civilians?
Oh, well, we didn't have much time. We were on the move all the time. When you're in the front and infantry, there's nobody between you and them. We were searching for German prisoners or German soldiers. We took one or two prisoners, got them back to HQ.
How were the prisoners treated?
All right. We didn't treat them badly at all. They came out with their hands on their heads. And we just got them back and handed them over and went about our business. I just forget how long we were in Caen, a few days. By this time we'd lost quite a number of men and were taken out of the line to be reinforced. I think we went to a place called Beauville or Deauville. There we were allowed to go to Bayeux. And
for what purpose?
Just for a rest. I remember going into the sea and we had a yellow silk square that we had. It was for identification purposes. If the typhoons came, we used to put them on top of the slit trench, the aircraft, the typhoon. Because they used to come and let the rockets go, which sounded very much like a morning mini. And they were after their tanks and things like that, which was quite often. We were reinforced and we were taken over the River Orne, over Pegasus Bridge towards Rouen, where we had quite a battle. I remember on the approaches I remember seeing a German going around on the tank, on the tracks of a tank. They marshalled a lot of prisoners, wounded Germans. It was chaos.
You mean on a British tank?
Yeah.
So his body had got stuck on the tracks?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And then we did the attack. The brigadier, who was called Rennie, I don't think it was any relation to the Major Rennie, who was our company commander, he got wounded, but still kept on going. We lost quite a lot of men. In fact, we had, and there was a German came with a white flag and asked for a 3-day armistice so we could collect our dead, and they collect theirs.
This is at Rouen?
Yes. We went out, and of course some of them may have been laid there. quite a few days, and it was warm summer. Of course, they were all blown up and disfigured. We had the job of collecting them and burying them, which wasn't very nice.
Were they from your unit?
Yes. Our colonel, he said that he'd allow this, but he couldn't stop the artillery. But he said he would stop the small arms while we got this sorted out. I think we were very low in strength. We'd suffered quite a loss, and we'd been counter-attacked a number of times, and we were getting pretty desperate for manpower. So eventually we were relieved from there, thank God. I never got reinforced again, and that's when they made the breakthrough, and we were asked to keep Patton's lines of communications open towards Paris.
How were you supposed to do that?
Well, we followed up, and as I say, General Patton and the Americans pushed a corridor through, and we had to follow up as infantry and stop any counterattack coming in to cut them off.
Was there any counterattack?
Oh, yes. And then we hold up in Rouen, and that's when Paris fell.
Did you see much of the civilians in Normandy?
No, not a lot. Very few. There was one or two knocking them out, but not very many. They'd all gone. And this Kames village was just desolate. There was nobody about.
A few
farmers knocking about, that's all. We didn't come into contact with them. You see, as I say, there was nobody between us and them, and the exchange of mortar fire and artillery and the tanks, if the tanks came up, we didn't like the tanks anyway, because they used to bring heavy fire on, heavy mortar fire, and we weren't very happy at all if the tanks came, because they made a lot of noise, and as I say, it used to bring mortar fire down on us, and we much preferred to be quiet and stay alive. We had enough problems without having more added on with having the tanks there.
What did you think of the calibre of the Germans fighting in Normandy?
Well, the Germans, they were real good soldiers. I think most of them were older than what we were. The ones that we took prisoners seemed to be a little older than what we were. Because, as I say, the majority of us were in our 20s, early 20s. And then, of course, when we got reinforced, we got a lot of younger people than what we were. By this time, we were the seasoned soldiers. And you started to bring national service people in. And then after Paris fell, I think we shot off up through Brussels. Of course, this was preparing for Arnhem. And of course, Arnhem and the Airborne made the landings, and we went on through Belgium to the canals. We went to the Escort Canal, where we did one or two attacks, and we managed to keep this bridge intact over the Escort Canal. And of course, the Airborne landed, and the Operation Market Garden came into being. Of course, everybody knows the story of the bridge too far. And we had quite a battle, and then we finished up on the River Moss.
Can you describe the battle that you had in relation to Market Garden?
Well, the Escort Canal, when they went over the bridge, or the tanks came, we held that line on, and we used to go out and on patrol. Occasionally we go with our 2-inch mortar and fire about a dozen shells, and then run like hell to another position, because a mortar is soon pinpointed and you can expect retaliation real quick. And then the tanks came and went over the bridge, and we followed those. On our way right up, and as I say, it was a failure. We couldn't get through to Nijmegen. We spent that winter on the River Maas in slit trenches, crawl trenches, and we patrolled the River Maas. Two or three times we were involved in skirmishes. And then each platoon had to go out to this farm where it was a forward observation post. We were attacked a couple of times. We took one or two prisoners. In snowsuits, sometimes we had to go and stay on the banks of the River Maas all night.
What were snowsuits?
Well, there was snow on the ground, and it was just a white, like a white overall.
Padded?
Camouflage. No, it wasn't padded. He didn't have anything like that. A couple of times we got involved in skirmishes with the Germans who would come across the canal or the river on small boats. I remember taking a prisoner.
How did you do that?
Well, we'd come through from our HQ down to patrol along the river bank. And just as we were approaching, the Germans attacked this forward position, this platoon position. And of course, we laid up until things quietened down, and then we shouted the password and went in after we got sorted out. And we went out to try and catch this patrol. We heard this morning in the ditch, and it was a German shouting, "Kamian, Kamian." We took him in. He was wounded, and we took him left there, and then continued on to try and catch this patrol before they got back to the boat that they went back across the river with. We spent the winter there. Was after Christmas. We got 48 hours on to Brussels.
What did you do there?
We went into a civilian home. And they were quite nice. The church is very nice. It was nice to have a nice bath. I'd sit down and have a meal with the family. They told us to be careful not to go into any houses of ill repute.
Did you?
No. I was too afraid. We'd had all sorts of lectures on different venereal diseases and I wasn't inclined that way. I didn't like to take a chance. We were at different cafes. We went into different cafes, and of course there was these ladies trying to encourage you to spend money and go upstairs with them. But there was some of the chaps went, but no, I didn't. As I say, I always try to keep myself very fit. And I took all this. I was afraid of disease, and I don't think I would take a risk on catching a venereal disease. Anyway, our 48 hours was sewn up, and they went back. And then eventually we came out of the line. We came to Louvain for a rest. We'd never been out of the line from D-Day till then. And I think we were 3 weeks in Louvain in different civilian digs. Of course, we all let our hair down. There was dancers, and the civilians were good. We managed to pinch one or two tins of bully beef and take that to them, and a bit of bread here and there, and they were very grateful. Of course, we ate in a cookhouse or a dining room. Our company had their own equipment and that, the company cook, and of course we managed to take little bits and that. I remember once they'd been somewhere and they'd got some mackerel off the black market, and they invited us to stay in, and they had a great big pot-bellied stove, and they had a grill at the front, and they dropped the front down and put the mackerel on and put it up on the front. And to this day I've never tasted anything as nice. And as I say,